And in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, we have the commandment, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Makes a good gospel sermon. For without faith, we cannot please God. We cannot believe the gospel. We cannot become a Christian. And without faith, the Lord, who is the author, is also the finisher, will bring it to its conclusion in good time. It is a wonderful definition in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a gift that God gives to human beings. It would be a useless concept did it not refer to anything. Faith, in fact, leads to a substance. And that substance is enclosed in the things of the future and of everlasting life that we hope for. So faith is real. And at times the hanging on to the faith is the important thing in our future progress. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the central part, it's the core of things hoped for. It is also the evidence of things not seen. If there were not such a thing as faith, the odds of believing more powerfully in things that are unseen than things that are seen would be minimal. But faith is evidence. The fact that there is such a thing as faith, there is something it must cling to, something it must correspond to, something which it must be matched up to. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And the writer to the Hebrews gives an immediate example. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Millions of people don't get that. Neither the word of God or that God framed them. But it's faith. It's real. We can't see it. But God gives it to those whom he will save. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Faith then is evidence. Faith then is substance. Through faith, we grasp the realities of the things which are unseen. It is a unique gift. You cannot grasp the reality of things unseen if you do not have as a capacity faith. So that's the central definition. And Hebrews 11, which is superb reading, indicates for us the different situations in which we may exercise faith. It begins by suggesting famous names, which might lead us to say, well, we're not famous, it probably doesn't account to us. But he goes on to mention ourselves, mention unknown others, even the ones who were sawn asunder. But each in their different situations, faith was shown. Abel exercised faith. How did he exercise faith? Well, he believed God's word that it was to be a particular sacrifice that was offered as thanksgiving. Cain dispensed with that. Thought what he'd like to do is present his own offering, the work of his own hands, because God was leading into the unseen thing world of faith, trusting in God. But Abel offered by faith, by which, of course, he condemned Cain. If you do something right, in the judgment day, things, all things being equal, you will condemn those who do not do it. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was translated. The Latin word translated is also exactly the same as transferred. Present tense is transfer. In Latin, the past tense is translate. We reduce translate to languages, but it is the transference of position that is meant here. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, he could not. So we know by definition that the wonderful life that Enoch lived in such a way that he had such close fellowship with God, more than any other person, we don't think of Christ in this way, but more than any other, that he was taken without death. God didn't want to be without him closely, if I can put it that way. It was by faith, because it is impossible to please God if you don't exercise faith in him. If you come to God, well, it's pointless if you don't believe that he is, but that he is also a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, prepared the ark by which he condemned the world, because they didn't believe what he believed. They didn't have that faith that he had. And by faith, Abraham left his home, left a huge city, I don't know how many inhabitants he had, let's say 20 million, left Ur of the Chaldees, the only believers there. I don't know how it was that his family went with him, whether they personally believed or what it was. But Abraham believed amongst all those who didn't. He obeyed. Faith led him to obedience. He didn't know where he was going. And he actually stayed by faith, in tents, in a land that his descendants would inhabit, but it wasn't given to him. But he, by faith, was to look for a city of God, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive, and there followed millions of Jews. Faith. Moses exercised faith. Pass over Jacob and Joseph. Moses, there was faith in his parents that they hid him because they saw he, in some way, he was special. But when Moses had grown up, when Moses had come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, because he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And he was able to do that because he calculated, he worked out, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And the reason he could do that was he had respect to God's paying back time. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as dry land. By faith, Rahab received the spies. By faith, the city of Jericho, the walls fell down. So, in all sorts of different situations, the exercise of faith was crucial. And always those situations are in the most unpromising of circumstances. A land has been held captive for a long time. Abraham was the only one who thought as he did. Faith is exercised as the substance of that which is dearest to your heart when nobody else whatever believes it. Faith. So we come on to Hebrews 12. And we read there in chapter 11 of lots of examples. There was Abel, there was Enoch, there was Abraham, there was Noah, there was Jacob, there was Moses, lots of them. And chapter 12 begins, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." So this is relevant to believers as well. The testimony of faith applies to faith in Christ Jesus when you've never known it before, as well as faith to continue in the faith of the Lord Jesus. So faith is relevant at all times. Faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I was always mystified as a youngster by the word cloud and thought I was being brilliant in substituting a word that rhymed, namely crowd. It seemed to me that what was meant here was a vast number of witnesses, a crowd of witnesses who looked down on us. Do you know, I don't think that's right at all. Would you turn with me to Exodus 13? And verse 21. And it's the children coming out of Egypt, getting near to the Red Sea, and we read, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night." So there were two pillars, one of which was always to be viewed. There was a cloud, a pillar of cloud, and wherever it went, Moses and those who were coming out of Egypt would follow. When it moved, they moved. When it didn't move, they stayed still. There was this great cloud. And at night, there was a pillar of fire. It prevented the enemy getting to them while they slept, but it was also a light should they need to journey by night. But here's the clue. The Lord went before them in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. We have a cloud of witnesses to lead us the way. Not so much that they're looking down on us, but we have the records in the scripture of witnesses to faith to lead us the way. If they could do it, we can do it. if the Holy Spirit gave the gift to them, how do we know he won't give the same gift to us? So that cloud of witnesses is a witness to us that we should go the way of God by faith, to lead the way. The cloud leads the way. The cloud of witnesses shows the way forward, which is exactly how it's presented in Hebrews 11. So we are surrounded, compassed, by a cloud of witnesses to show us the way. And they come throughout the Bible, named and unnamed. Because we are encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. In faith, we will do our own pleasure if we lose sight of heaven, lose sight of glory. Faith helps us, means that we will fix on things that are eternal and enable us to lay aside every weight. It will enable us to lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. We have what we call besetting sins. Any sin we might be likely to perform, being human, but besetting sins are the ones that are so deeply part of us that they keep on with us whatever happens. The sin that so easily besets us, faith will overcome. We may lay aside every weight, and through faith, the sin which so easily besets us. And we will run with patience the race that is set before us. Life is a long distance race, isn't it? Anything like a race now. But the picture is that life is a race. Life is something on which you must keep the end in view, the winning post. You must keep in mind that hour when you race, because we race all the time. Read about people who love swimming, who want when they're older to be champion swimmers. But they do what we don't do, don't they? Get up at 4 in the morning, winter or summer, go to the swim bath, swim from 5 till 8, go off to school, do their homework when they come back, and swim from 7 till 9 in the evening. It's a tremendous sacrifice involved, as it is with anyone who wants to be a champion. But we want to be champions at seeing and reaching the glories of Christ. So we have a responsibility to train. And we train by laying aside every sin that does so easily beset us, every weight. And we run with patience. But here's the key, looking unto Jesus. Jesus is the one who enables faith. Jesus is the one to whom we should look. Jesus is the one in whom this race, which we don't know how long it's going to be for any one of us, but he is the one we keep our eye upon. His standards, his words, his way. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So when the Lord Jesus calls you, first of all, we still look to him. We look to him as the one who called us. We are under his authority. We owe everything we have and are to him. He's caused us to believe we're his. But also he's the one who'll bring it to a conclusion and everything in between. But we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now faith leads us into some unusual experiences and gives us also the means by which we should handle them. Jesus who for the joy that was set before him, joy, what was his joy? To please the Father, yeah. To save those whom the Father had given him, yes. So the joy that was set before Jesus was to see the effective salvation of all those whom the Father had given him. Never mind the suffering. He endured the cross, all the pain, because of joy. Because of that joy of having us with him. Because of that joy of saving those whom the Father had given him. By faith, because he couldn't see well in his humanity on earth. By faith, he went to Calvary's cross in great joy, because it would be the means of saving us. Faith leads on to great things, but it has surprising ways to bring us to the glory. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. And what did it lead to in him? What might we expect to find in some way? For the joy that was set before him endured the cross. We're not called upon to endure the cross, only to witness to it. Despising the shame. But how easy it is just to witness to the cross and be ashamed to do so, be ashamed to speak up, be ashamed. Jesus despised shame because it was the means his Father had appointed to save us. So though it was a shameful act because it was a terrible death chosen by the Romans for the worst of sinners, and though it was a shame in itself to be seen naked, powerless upon a cross, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Faith gave him joy. Now, whatever happens in our situation, faith will bring us through. I don't think we would have described, if it had been for us and not the Holy Spirit, that the situation of Christ was that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. But surprising things in the spiritual life. So we look to the Lord Jesus. We look to the one who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. What will we do for the joy that is set before us, for the sins that are forgiven through his blood? As a result of that, he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God by faith. By faith, we will sit down at the right hand of the throne of God in Christ. And then I just tack on verses 3 and 4. For consider him that endured such contradiction. We use contradict to go opposite in speech, but it has a much more general sense. Consider him that endured such opposition of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. So, faith in our own situation. We must consider him. We must consider the opposition he had. Because otherwise we will become wearied and faint in our minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Find it hard to be wearied and not faint in our minds? You haven't started yet. You've not resisted unto blood in your striving against sin. And you're thinking of giving up. You're thinking of giving up faith. And you haven't done anything. Christ resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We won't be called upon to do that. But lest we go cold and weary Keep faith, and he will show you how and where and when to exercise that faith, the substance of things not seen, the evidence of it. He will show you how to keep with that in a world that despises it, where all the things that are round about us are very real, but we are looking for a city that God builds in the heaven, the city of God. May we appreciate what faith is. May we exercise it because Christ has given it to us. May we believe in him with all our heart, and may we never give up. Amen. The hymn number 600.